Good afternoon. This is August the 12th, and this is the astrology program. For the next half hour, we'll be talking about what is relevant in the stars and in yourselves. And we may well receive phone-ins, questions. And the number, once again, to just repeat it, is 518-828-0290. And I'm going to start by talking about what's going on right now. Of course, we're very, very close to a full moon, which will happen tomorrow. And this is great for us because there's a music festival going on in Hudson. And the Leo Sun full moon, of course, is in Aquarius. And so we can expect, and this does not surprise me in the least, but we can suspect tremendous eccentricities to show up over the weekend, because Aquarius is very individualistic. It's about groups, but also groups that have unusual, esoteric, strange agendas. And it's also quite intriguing because the Sun in Leo, which is often very self-expressive, it's about really the self coming through. It has to do with something very sunny and very open and very positive and very energetic. But as it turns out, that the Sun is bracketed by Mercury and Venus right now. So although Leo is usually quite self-conscious, especially the Sun in Leo, this is really an interesting set of patterns that we're talking about, because Mercury is how we think collectively. Venus is what we love. And so with Sun in the middle of Mercury, Venus, it's about ideas, of course, but it's about ideas that have emotional inflections. In fact, one of the main elements of my work these days is that with certain configurations, people have Mercury and Venus connected in their horoscopes by aspect or in signs that relate to each other. And what that shows is people whose ideas are not really valid, or ideas are not valid to them unless they happen to have an emotional component, meaning that people either have an emotionally accentuated mind or they don't. For other people where Mercury and Venus or Mercury and the Moon are not connected, ideas are ideas and feelings are feelings. So in relationships, it's usually good that you try to find a partner that has a similar disposition as yours in that way, because otherwise there'll be endless confusions about that. It took me decades to realize that, particularly about women, that particularly ideas in their own right really meant very, very little. Yet if there was a strong emotional component, then suddenly they were much more interesting, much more engaged, much more involved in the whole process. So remember that out there, because it'll be very interesting to see which music really makes the emotional connection to people over the weekend, which music you like. Do you like it because of the ideas, or do you like it because it just feels good? Anyway, one of the classic interpretations of this is that Mercury Venus is very infantile. So don't be surprised to hear some infantile music as well. It should be quite interesting, and certainly we'll see a lot of infantile behavior around Hudson over the long weekend. The weather looks fabulous, and hopefully if Hudson doesn't burn down from the fire on Warren Street that's going on right now, that we'll have a chance to have a really amazing weekend in these tents that are sprouting up all over town. It's also quite intriguing because it's a time when it's important to engage in experiences that kind of raise your spirits a bit. If you've been paying any attention to the current financial situation or the, you know, the beleaguered Barack Obama and things of this sort, that it's a fairly sad time in many ways, but this is an opportunity maybe to kind of open things up, to allow your joy to come through, to be more open, to be more loving maybe. And I think this could actually be a very positive upshot of the full moon this weekend. The full moon goes exact, actually, tomorrow afternoon at 2:57. And of course, you won't be able to see it. But in the evening, it's going to be absolutely spectacular as it rises over the eastern horizon, which is essentially the top of Warren Street from us. So then, on the 16th, we see that Mercury and Venus are conjunct in Leo. And, you know, as I mentioned before, they're very close to each other right now. Well, eventually, you know, Mercury catches up to Venus and they pass each other. And this is very, very good for creative activity because Leo, as I said, is very extrovert. It's very positive. It's very creative. And, you know, as a Leo myself, my birthday is next week. It's always to me very interesting that, you know, my life seems to be about finding various ways of expressing certain kinds of energies. And, you know, it changes regularly. It changes through time. But during that Leo time, it's a good chance to just express what you really feel and to not hold back in any way. Of course, this can, in saying this, it can get you into huge trouble doing that, but it's usually quite positive and the atmosphere is such that people are quite tolerant and quite responsive. So I quite like that aspect of Mercury-Venus, again, because it's about coming across ideas, but particularly ideas that have a strong emotional connotation and association. On the 18th of August, which is next Thursday, we see that Mars in Cancer is in sextile to Jupiter in Taurus. And this is a very, very good combination, especially since it falls on my birthday, because Mars is about the desire function, about the need to find an outlet for one's energetic creativity, and Jupiter is very expansive, particularly in the sign Taurus, which is all about making physical things. It's probably a good meal is in store, you know. It's a good time to harvest what's around, take advantage of it, play with it. And Mars, Jupiter, is known for being extraordinarily creative and very, very positive in many ways, particularly when you make things or create things that reflect your religious or spiritual or philosophical beliefs. You know, creation being Mars, Mars also being changes in the creative dynamic, Jupiter being philosophy, psychology, religion, things of this sort. It's fascinating because, you know, one of the undercurrents of astrology, which if you've been listening to me regularly, you'll begin to get this now. But the gist of it is that all of the planets have a number of different levels at which they can be understood and also at which you can utilize their energies. And one of the great things to be learned is to really know when a particular influence is acting on you, what is the best possible way to express it? What are my options? What are the possibilities? How can I take a situation that might be very restrictive? Well, what you do is you use it and restrict yourself so that you do something, some task that you've put on hold, that you haven't really paid attention to recently, and therefore you use that restrictive energy in a positive way. So the same is true of any of the aspects astrologically, and it's almost more important when they're difficult or so-called negative aspects, ones where, you know, you lose your rhythm temporarily or people get angry or emotional situations spill over. All of these situations are kind of intriguing because the implication is that if we know how to use them, we can direct that energy in a constructive way rather than having it ravage us in other ways. So that's kind of interesting. It's an interesting way of looking at things. Once again, it's WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. And we are in Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, and it's listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. So, on the 21st of August, which is a week from Sunday, Venus, which takes about a month in each sign because it always travels with the sun, of course. You know, it's very close to the sun. It's never more than a sign and a half away from it. So Venus leaves Leo and goes into Virgo just before the sun goes into Virgo. And Venus in Virgo is a kind of interesting place for it to be because Venus, of course, is very warm-hearted and emotional, and it's about relationships and about the dynamics of them. Virgo is very critical. It's often quite naive. It's certainly virginal on a psychological level. And when Venus goes into Virgo, there's a tendency to be critical of the dynamic of your relationships. And yet at the same time, it's important because it may make things a bit more realistic. It may ground your feelings for someone else. It may also make your relationship and partnerships more efficient. And this actually can be a very good thing. Because Mercury is the ruler of Virgo, and as a result, there's a tendency to really look at things closely, to be more precise, to be a bit perfectionist, but on the other hand, make sure that criticism that you mention to others is constructive, because that actually works for both of you, and it's a way of veiling it probably, but it actually is more positive, and as a result, it works more towards curing problems than, you know, presenting them. Virgo is also about refinement and about making choices between the various options and in the best possible way, so that by becoming aware of that Virgo energy, we realize that we need to discriminate. The more we choose who we hang out with, for example, the more likely we are to draw people to us who are on our level or above it, so that we can improve our general situation in the world. And this is actually a very interesting overall principle. Similarly, on the same day, on Sunday, Venus in Virgo, because it's just entering a new sign, it's going to make a contact to Saturn in Libra, which is 45 degrees away, which is a kind of conditional and tense aspect. It's also going to go directly opposite to Neptune at the very first degree of Pisces. Venus to Saturn is a very interesting one because Venus is youth, Saturn is old age. Venus is acting totally on the basis of feeling. Saturn is much more logical, rational, practical, realistic. In fact, people who have Venus-Saturn aspects in their natal charts, when they're young, they act through the Venus and tend to attract older partners. And when they're older, they tend to act more through the Saturn and are drawn to younger partners. So any partnership where there's a great discrepancy in age, you'll often find that Venus and Saturn aspects or Venus and Saturn qualities tend to be pronounced. It's quite interesting to see that, to just be aware of these principles. And it also because we all, of course, have Venus and Saturn in our horoscope. So we all have a youthful part of our being, and we also have, you know, an older, wiser, and more realistic part of our being. Sometimes they're not connected. So we have like a kind of youthful identity and maybe also a kind of older, wiser identity, but the two don't really have much interaction. When that happens, we tend to attract relationships that are attractive, but not very realistic. Or relationships where there is this great age difference, and that brings a whole other dynamic into play. And of course, when Venus is opposite to Neptune, it means that our normal boundary consciousness goes completely out the window, because Neptune in Pisces is like a boundary-free zone, whereas Venus in Virgo is about precision, being more direct, loving, but being, you know, self-critical of the way that comes about and the way it's communicated and expressed. And it's kind of intriguing because very shortly afterwards, 2 days later, a week from Tuesday, the sun goes into the sign Virgo, where it will be for a month, obviously from the 23rd of August through approximately the 22nd of September, at which point we will experience the autumn equinox. I don't know about you, but I can already feel it in the air. You know, it was so hot and so humid for a while, but now suddenly the evenings were fantastic, and I even thought last night I need a duvet or something because it was a little on the chilly side, but I love that. I mean, this time of the year is absolutely fantastic. So Virgo, you know, even though it actually happens two-thirds of the way through August, it's a time to begin paying attention again, to begin to, you know, up the efficiency level, to focus, whereas the summer is really not always focused. it's also about not looks and not about how things appear, but rather how they really are and how they work for you. So at best, we become aware of what we're doing. We begin to, throw away less time. We focus our energies and efforts in the right ways, and we become more discriminating. In short, that may be a word not a lot of you understand, but it certainly indicates the idea of not necessarily being perfect, but certainly not unreasonably expecting outcomes that aren't in the cards. You know, again, we occasionally, the function of Virgo and Virgo people is to up our standards a little bit, to give us a kind of inspiration to be a little more self-reflective, to look into our ways of acting, to watch what we do. You know, this happens to be a big part of a lot of the Eastern religions, like Buddhism and Taoism and Hinduism are very much about really looking at how we are, playing with that, working with it, realizing that, you know, by being more reflective, by understanding what we do, we improve the quality of our life and make us a lot less frustrated and probably a lot better to be around. I always like a certain amount of Virgo. I have some myself, and I like seeing it in others because I recognize that characteristic pretty easily because it's very disciplined. It has to do with how you organize things in your life. And very often these are conditions that we, you know, don't really find in others, but, you know, it's very valuable when it's there and it's worthwhile kind of working with on many, many levels. You know, it's funny because in Hudson right now, I think there's a kind of Virgo in process and operation in terms of politics. It's like weeding out a whole series of dysfunctional patterns that have been going on for a long time and beginning to figure out that there are more realistic and more positive ways to go about running a town and being in a town and participating in these energies. And of course, there's a tremendous resistance to this. But at the same time, we're beginning to see little nudges in the right direction that I think in the longer run could be quite a bit more positive. There don't seem to have been any phone calls today, but I think in 2 weeks from now, which is going to be, I believe, the 26th of August, is around the time that our next program will happen at 3:00 on a Friday afternoon. And, you know, I invite you to call in at 518-828-0290 at WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. On the 25th of August, which is Thursday, a week from Thursday, Mars in Cancer goes square to Saturn in Libra. And given the current situation in this country and around the world, actually, Europe, for example, and in the financial markets, that Mars square Saturn signals the end of a phase. It's often the death of a particular behavior pattern as a way of weeding out unsuccessful and unfruitful directions and allowing new directions to come into play, to become a part of the process. And this, again, is something that right now I think really needs to happen. You know, Mars Cancer can be quite conservative. Cancer is the sign that governs America because of the 4th of July, obviously. And Saturn governs legal processes and government in general. So there's a real collision between the will of the public, the people of the U.S., Mars in Cancer, and Saturn in Libra, the governing individuals. You know, everyone, it seems, is totally dissatisfied with the ridiculous state of affairs that's happened recently. It's intriguing in a way that, it's intriguing in a way that also around the same time on the 25th, Saturn and Libra go sesquiquadrant to Neptune. This is quite a long-lasting influence and one that is very, very important to pay attention to because Saturn in Libra, as I said before, is very much about boundaries and about, you know, the structures of things and how well or not they function. When it goes sesquiquadrant, it's a 135-degree aspect. It's like a square and a half. and it makes an aspect to Neptune, which has now gone back into the last degree of Aquarius. And Saturn-Neptune's, again, about boundaries versus boundarylessness, knowing one's right place and knowing one's place in the world versus not having a clue and kind of winging it in some ways and not really being sure what direction things are going in and what kind of outcome they're going to take on. So this is really quite an important time in terms of creating policy, in terms of trying to deal with what we move towards when there's a real stalemate in the political system, because I think it's time for the people to voice their difficulties. You know, I've been in touch with my daughter who lives in England. She lives just outside of London. She lived in London for 20 years. And it's interesting, the riots that are happening in the UK, because not only, it's not just disenfranchised radicals by any means, it's a lot of college kids, a lot of young people who feel like their education is at risk. And there are a lot of people angry about the way the government's gone about things. And it surprises me that we haven't had a kind of strong emotional reaction in this country as well. Not that I'm asking for that by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that such times, there are very strong conditions attached to the way government really runs the country. And it's very, very important to get off on a fresh track, to move in the right direction, to, you know, find means of expression, maybe through the web, maybe through blogs, that actually do communicate good ideas that get us on the right track, that get us moving in the right direction. Then on Friday, 2 weeks from today, we'll see the event that a lot of people I know have been asking me about almost day by day, which is Mercury is now retrograde, and which means it's going backwards into the sign Leo, and it went backwards past Venus and past the Sun. But Mercury goes direct on August the 26th. And this brings, whereas Mercury going backwards is about looking back into the past, it's retrograding motion, it's looking at past behavior patterns, it's, you know, if you try to move ahead, you may have noticed that things don't seem to work, connections don't get made, messengers don't deliver their messages, and so on. In fact, I had a funny thing happen. I was given a new computer 2 days ago, and normally I would really avoid taking on any new electronics during a Mercury retrograde cycle, but it's not a new machine, it's an old one. And in fact, it's a really great time to buy used computers or used electronics or used cars. You don't want to buy new ones then, but you do want old ones and ones that have been around the block a bit, because in a way, the ideas at such a time are very much like this also. So when it goes direct, it usually accelerates quite rapidly. It's like a kind of sling, like David and Goliath or something. And a lot of new ideas rush into the void and contacts, people you haven't met or people that you're just meeting, you know, want to actually step forward in relationships and, you know, notch things up another gear. It does take it a while to happen. You know, the saying in astrology is that at the degree where Mercury goes backwards, it'll take until Mercury returns to that degree before it actually completes the retrograde cycle. And that's going to take another couple of weeks for Mercury to kind of regain its apparent speed. It's not really going backwards, but it appears to be so. And this reminds us that growth is punctuated. You know, you move ahead, you develop ideas, you develop creativity, you develop a song if you're a songwriter, you develop your skills. And then, of course, it's time to like turn that around, to allow it to kind of go back and become more internal, more interiorized, and to listen to what you do. It's like I do that when I write. You know, often when I write a book, I look at it 2 or 3 or 4 years later and read it, and I think, fascinating, I wonder who wrote that. Because it's always kind of surprising when you give it a space, you can really look at it objectively. And while you're creating things, that's not always easy to do. So it's actually a very good time, you know, in these next weeks, the next 2 weeks in particular, and even the week and a half or 10 days after that, for Mercury to get out of its kind of retrograde position, to begin really kind of looking at your life and analyzing where can it change? You know, how can my ability to communicate improve? If you write, it's a great time to edit. It's a great time to process ideas, to, you know, to defrag your computer, as it were. I always think of that as a metaphor that's true emotionally and mentally as well. That, you know, you defragment the computer to bring all of the bits of information together to function effectively. And we need to occasionally do the same thing with our psyche and our minds, maybe even our emotions. So it's a good time to clear out discordant feelings, let them go away. It also is the idea of lasting results happen more readily when there's a reasoned process, when it goes forward and it goes backwards. And you know, it's like doing a book really well requires that process of just blasting it out, then going through a whole editing process where you're looking back over every word, then you look at it again to try to recreate that fluidity. And then finally, you know, the last bit of enthusiasm takes you over the boundary and into a new direction. And, you know, you've then completed the process. So Leo really, you know, is, I always think that probably the most apt word for it is playful. And that this is a time to play, by which I mean, doesn't mean you don't do any business or you don't be creative. Because I think play is creative. It's really the essence of creativity. It's allowing ourselves to really play with our lives, with our partners, with our maybe with our sexuality, maybe with our music making, and to really open up venues like we would see them as if we were a child. So the whole idea here is do open yourself up, play a little bit, go for it, and we'll actually see that in 2 weeks' time we'll be talking about the next phase of the autumn as September approaches. Just to finish up, this is the astrology program with A.T. Mann on WGXC. If you want to see my website, it's www.atmann.net, and you can contact me through atmann4@gmail.com. Thank you, and have a good week.
This is Bill McKibben from 350.org.